keeper, a miracle worker, the light in our darkness. Amen. And we have such a heavy heart because there's so many hurting people. So many, even in our own body, even in our own families, there's so many that are broken and hurt, and they need God. They try to find the answer on their own, and the only one that can satisfy is God. The only one who has the answer is Him. And this came in my email, my inbox, just 2 days ago, and I read it, and it's been on my heart. I shared it with Pastor Chris today, and he wanted me to share it with you, all of you, before he comes up. But the title was Pressing On or Staying Stuck. And I feel like we feel that this is what the church is experiencing. They're either going to press on or you're going to stay stuck. And I'm tired of staying stuck. I don't want to stay stuck any longer. I want to move forward to all God has for me. And this is the gist of it. I'm going to go through bits and pieces of it. But we all remember the Israelites. We remember them complaining in the desert with Moses and wanting to go back to Egypt. Why would they want to go back to slavery and back to Egypt? Do you ever question that? Do you ever wonder, why did they want to go back to being bound and being slaves? They wanted to go back. And they wanted to stay stuck in what was so bad and so awful. But that's us. Sometimes we'd rather stay stuck in something we know that's familiar than to be free. This is a natural human reaction to change. Because you have change in front of you, and you have this, okay, what you knew before. And you'd rather stay in what you know than move forward to change. Because it's hard. You'd rather stay here. Yeah, it's hard, but it's familiar and you're comfortable with it. It's our natural human being reaction to change. Our natural instinct is to avoid doing hard things. That's built in us. That's our human nature. To avoid change and to seek out pleasure. That is what we want. Of what comforts us, what satisfies us, what we want now. I'd rather have a cheeseburger than something healthy. You know, we want what's quick, what's easy, what we know, and what can satisfy us right now. When we start making changes like choosing to eat better, serve our body, regular exercise, managing our emotions, to quit doing bad behaviors, to stop procrastinating. Listen, guys, these are our lower level living. And it's taking, it's the lower level living, and these are habits that our brain is trying to take and trying to keep, okay? Staying stuck is easier, and that is why our brain is designed, and when we learn this, we are able to activate the higher level part of our brain. Do you know what the higher level part of our brain is? It's the Spirit of God part of our brain. And if we begin to cultivate the Spirit of God within us, we can become unstuck from the things that want to keep us bound, okay? This is the part of our brain made in the image of God. Amen? You have two parts of your brain. One that wants to know the natural way to do it. One that the part of your brain that wants to stay satisfied. The part of your brain that says, this is easier. Let's just stay with this. But then there's the God part of your brain. Amen? And it is made in the image of God. This is where decisions for well-being rather than false pleasure are made. And we learn to press on. We need to learn to activate that part that we know that we are made in the image of God. Have you ever noticed, and guys, I'm speaking to myself, because when you try to break bad habits, and for me, sometimes it's eating habits, you want to go back to what you know. You try to make a change, but you find yourself going back to what you know. And we wonder sometimes, is there something wrong with us? I feel so weak sometimes. These are false pleasures, but listen, you're not alone. There is good news, and we have to shift our focus. And when we shift our focus on God and what He has for us, the better plan that He has for us, we can become unstuck. So I believe that sometimes, we try, like, I'm going to serve God with all my heart, and I'm going to read my Bible every day, and I'm going to do this thing and press on with God. And we do it for so long, and then we go back to the way things were. Because that's a part of us that the enemy, in a sense, works in, because he knows that if he can get you comfortable and in that state of being, then you won't press on. Amen. And we need to turn over that part of our brain, in a sense, that we know that is made in the image of God. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to encourage you. Pastor Chris, he can come up. And I know he has a word for you tonight. I know that, listen, as Family Worship Center, we're not satisfied with the way we're going on in Christ. Amen. And we're going to press on. And we are going to cultivate a change from this moment on and say enough is enough. Amen. These buckets up here, when people put in their offerings, will be full. Amen. Then we don't have to worry about that. Do you know that is a weight on a pastor that worries about if we have enough money to pay our bills? Amen. I know we have sometimes a small group, but we need to cultivate and bring in people that lift up and encourage and support, that it's not on just a small nucleus, but we have a thriving body, amen, that helps support in every area, amen. Our youth, we'd love to have more youth, amen. Call these kids in, call these youth in, call the teachers, call the workers, amen. So I believe through this prayer that we're going to begin to start doing, and much prayer. Listen, not just pray on these Friday nights, but pray at home for your own families and your body and your church body. Amen. So, Pastor Chris.
No. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Certainly, she said a lot that was in my heart. And yeah, you know, especially this week, I actually didn't even go to work today because I felt, last night, I felt that I needed to seek God. Seek Him for answers. Seek Him for direction for a body. And not only that, but for people. I feel a heaviness coming from people, of weights, of burdens that are heavy. They're too heavy to carry. And as I was waiting on the Lord, I really felt that there was a question that even we say to ourselves, God, what do? Do I stay or do I go? You know, because you can literally look around and say to yourself, where is everybody? And you can say to yourself, where are we going? And as a pastor, you could say, what am I doing wrong? As teachers or whatever, every one of us can say that. What is it that we are doing wrong? So do I stay or do I go? What do we say, you know, at those moments? You know, God, Lord, at that moment, I was saying, God, Lord, what do I do? Because without money, you can't move on. Without people, you have nobody to preach to. But as I did that, as I began to ask God, I believe that the answer was in the Word, was in intimacy. Because I feel like you have a car that every one of us are driving, that we have a car, but without fuel, we can't get nowhere. We cannot get anywhere. Whether you have a problem to solve it, to get to the place that you need to get to, whether it's a doctor's or whether it's work or whatever it is, you need the fuel to get there. Each one of us have a vehicle. We have opportunity to get there, but we need the fuel to get there. And God began to speak to myself, we'll never, ever get there. We'll never get there. We can have church and maintain, and you can accidentally get people to walk in your door to fill this place and put in an offering, but it ain't about that. It is about where are we going and how are we going to get there. And it's about intimacy. It's about being that closeness with Him and who He is. It's as easy as that. And I feel that in my heart, to get beyond stuck is intimacy. It is grabbing onto God. God with everything we got and say, God, I'm not going to quit, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to reach for you, God, Lord, that whatever happens from this moment on, I want you to know this, and I want everybody to mark this down, that I believe that, listen, I'm desperate for God with everything I have. I'm tired of waiting and wondering what God's going to do. God's asking me, what are you going to do? And I know what I'm going to do. Listen, I'm going to require of God. I'm going to seek God with everything that I got. I'm going to lay before Him and cry out to Him for your burdens and each one of your pains and your hurts and for what we need in this house to survive. That's my heart. That's where we are. That's what I'm committed to do with everything within me. That if we fail, that we've done everything that we can. We have reached God. We have pressed on. And we'll walk out of this place, hallelujah, with not a hunger, but being filled in our hearts saying, God, I have sought your face. I have sought you with everything that I got. And sometimes in those moments, we don't understand what God's doing. And as I began to wait on God, as I began to seek Him and say, sometimes, you know, you get in. I got in the Word today and I spent a long time just reading the Word of God and saying, oh, I don't, what do you want me to say? What am I to say? What am I to go? I've preached every sermon there is in this book. I've done everything, God, Lord, that what can I do? But the one thing that I know that we lack is that intimacy. I believe that this church, I believe with all my heart, because it's on my heart. I believe this is our calling, is intimacy with God. And to teach people how to be intimate with God. I want you to know people go to churches every week and they walk in the doors. That is an intimacy. Intimacy is seeking God when no one's around. Come on. Intimacy is reaching for God when you're up against the wall and there's no other way to go. It isn't turning around, but it's reaching for Him. It is love. That's what love is. Every one of us can have a relationship with God in faith. We can have it in faith. You walk in the doors of a church and you can have a relationship with God. But I'm going to tell you what, only love brings you into fellowship. And I desire fellowship. I want you to know there's nothing else. I believe with all my heart that I have nowhere to turn. There's nothing in this world that's greater than I know the love that God has given to me and the love that I have for Him. There's nothing greater. But I want you to know there's a war that is raging like never before. And that war is in the world. It's of the world. And the Word of God says that we are not of this world, but we are in this world. And I want you to know that sucks. Because the world goes on, and every day you enter into that world. Every day that we walk into that world, and everything that's there is... And every time you get a moment that you try to get some step, that wave is coming next. That wave keeps coming over you. That wave keeps, and that is the world. That is the system of the world. It is to draw you out. It is to pull you out to get you a place where you can't get any footing. But I want you to know that God began to speak in my heart. I want you to teach them how to put their life preserver on. I want you to teach them how to stay even in the world, but be able to be above the water. Hallelujah. To stay in that place, whether you're above it. Hallelujah. It's not dragging you away from God. It's not pulling you away. There are people that are so far away from God that are in church, and it breaks my heart. They're so far away from Him. They wouldn't know His voice. Hallelujah. And I want you to, I believe that, and I want you to see this. To look at this scripture, and I began to think about how that these men were against the wall. They were at a place where they were struggling. The world was overlapping them. It was overwhelming them. This condition of where they were, and I'm not comparing it in a sense of where they were, but I am in a way that this is my life. This is where we are. Come on, amen. Where the decisions that we make as a church, and what decisions are we making? Where are we? What are we doing? I just want to read this to you. It's in John, where Jesus was praying, and he was crying out. He knew where things were, and the thing that's amazing was they didn't know, just like every one of you, that you, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes we don't know why. Have you ever wondered that? How many said why? Or wonder why sometimes things don't go the way that you think. Kind of like Joseph, where the ones that he loved put him in a cage and sold him. What you think was family, what you thought was family, what you thought was intimacy was lost. And it says, and these are the words of Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven. This is in John 17, and it says, Father, the hour has come to glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify you, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given And this is the life eternal, that might not know thee, the only true, that they might only know the true God in Christ Jesus, whom thou hast sent. As I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou hast gave me to do. I want you to see and understand that the only way that we finish the work that God has called us to do is this. He was interceding. He came to a place where he was crying out to the Father. What an example. This is the Son of God. This is God in the flesh. And he was reaching in these moments. But sometimes what we do is because of things, the world makes us run from God. The system. I mean, I'm not just talking about deliberate sin. I'm not just talking about, but I'm talking about the daily living, that it pulls you and it masks you and it kind of divides the truth. It pulls you from the truth of what real truth is, of what life really is and what it's about. And we forget that it's about Jesus. And we remember it at Christmas. We remember it at Easter. But I want you to know that there's an intercession. There's something that is daily reaching for God, desperately seeking Him, saying, I'm not going out without a fight. I'm not going to go out my life without fighting and reaching for Him and knowing Him the way that I know that I should. In desperation, because every one of us, I want you to know that there's something within us. There's something within us that we know that we need more of God. That we need more of God. That we need more of God. That we need a hunger for God. And I want you to know that it's come to us. It has come to me. It has placed it because there's people here that don't know that. But I want you to know that out of the midst of our reaching for God, they'll reach for God. We wonder, and we're waiting for people. We're waiting for them. And today, as I begin to think of the many people that aren't going to church nowhere else, but they're not going to church, that come in this house. Amen. They come in this house, but they're not here. And sometimes you say, what's wrong with them? But I want you to know that, listen, we are here today. Thank God that you're here, right now, because God's placed you here to intercede, to step in the midst. Hallelujah. To be the ones to arise and shine. To be at that place of desperation that we become a pool of life. For those that are thirsty, those that are lost, that sometimes they might not feel that they can pay the price. But I'm desperate enough to break through to say, I need to pay the price. I need to press through at the cost, and no matter what it costs. This has not been an easy journey. This hasn't been an easy journey. I question and say to myself all the time, what was I thinking? I was comfortable in a little building. But I'm not going out without a fight. Because when I know one thing, I know that I need Him. I need Him. I need Him. I need Him. And it says, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I've finished my work. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me in Thine own self, with glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested the name unto men, which Thou gavest me out of the world. And I begin to think about that. Who has God given to us in our world? In our world, has God placed it in my heart? Has He placed it? He has placed it in my heart to be a voice, to be an intercessor. Every one of us is in us to cry out. But I want you to know what the world does. It makes you hard. It makes you whatever you want. You want to go in the world, just go ahead. Whatever you feel, whatever that thing is, you go ahead and do it. And we become hardened to it. And we take our little box, our little situation. But it's bigger than that. That we begin to take on a burden that's beyond ourselves. Beyond just us. Beyond just my problems. And He says, and I have manifest Thy name. He says, and now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given Thee them, I have given them Your words, which Thou gave to me. And they have received them. And they have known surely that I came out from Thee. And they have believed, and Thou didst send me. He says, and I pray for them. They know that I'm the miracle worker. They know that I'm the way maker. They know that I'm the light. They know this. And He says, and I pray for them. And this is really heavy on me. And I pray not for the world, But for them which thou hast given to me, for God so loved the world that he gave. He said, all mine are thine, and they are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I now am no more in the world, but these, them, are in the world. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they might be one as we are. I want you to hear this and see his heart. This is the heart of God, saying, this is what I want from you. That you're one with me as I am with the Father. That you're one with me. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou hast gave, and I've kept them, and none of them is lost, but thou son of perdition, the enemy, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy and be filled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the word hath hated them. I want you to see that. Because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I want you to see that there's a battle there. There's a battle there for who you are in God. For that, it's the oneness that you have with God. I want you to know that's the one thing that the enemy cannot have, is that oneness, that intimacy that is there. And that's the one thing that he wants to pull out from under you, is your desire to be one with God, to be one with him. He's not threatened from us going to church, but he's threatened with you being one with him. He's threatened with you being desperate for him, hungry for him. Hungry people. I feel that we're under that attack. Because in our hearts, we're hungry. Every one of you people here, you're hungry for God. You're not here for the show. We're going through things. We go through things. But you're hungry for God. We're hungry for God. But it's a fight. Come on, it's a fight. It's a fight. Because the world is against us. The system of the world. The system of the whole thing is against us. And it says, and I pray, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil, from the effect of it. And he says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And I began to look at that word sanctified. It means set apart. It means set apart from something, for something. Set apart from something, for something. I want you to know that we want change. We want things to happen. But I want you to know the fuel and the way to get there is being sanctified, set apart. Saying, I'm yours, God. I'm yours. Beyond everything else, beyond problems. Come on. Because that's what I mean. The world, the problems, the system, the things that go on. That we end up believing what the world believes. That everything's against us. That it's no hope. That or this or that. Or we get frustrated with things the way they go. Instead of moving with the world, we've got to move with the Spirit. What God's saying. And understand what He's saying. Because I want you to know that He's declaring something. I want you to see what happens here. And He says, thou hast sent me into the world. Even so have I sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself. I set myself apart that they may also sanctify through your truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe. That's us. Come on, amen. That's us. I want you to know he's interceding for me. He's interceding for me. He's making intercessions that are inside of me that I don't know how to get out. Come on, amen. Inside of me that I don't know how to pray and I don't know how to define it. I don't know how to put my finger on it. I don't know how to explain it, but it's Him. So I want you to know the answer is to realize that I need to be one with Him. Come on, amen. That I might intercede on that level. Come on. That I might be at that place of knowing and understanding, having the understanding of what's going on around me. And be able to make it through whatever we face, whatever we're going through. And he says that they all may be one as the Father. There he is again, that are in me and I in thee. And they also may be one with us in the world and may believe that thou hast sent me. And that glory which thou gavest me, I have given them.
that they may be one even as we are one. And I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, that they might be made whole, that we might be made whole. But I want you to see this. This was the whole description of Jesus' intercession. This is before he goes to the cross. Nobody knows the working of what's taking place here. Nobody knows this. Nobody takes hold of this. Even his disciples, the ones that were closest, the ones that knows that he was a miracle worker, they didn't know. They really didn't understand. But we can look here and see how that Luke explains it. And he begins to share something to you that really hit my heart. Because as this was going on, as this was his prayer, that we be one, he was crying out that that they are one with us, that they become one, that they fight against this world, that they don't sit back and be overwhelmed, but they stand strong and let me intercede, and they become one with me, and that intercession comes out of them from me. That intercession comes out of them from him. And they pour out. And he says this. And he says, and he came out, and he went, and he went to the Mount of Olives. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. He says, I'm asking you to pray. These are the ones that follow him. These are the ones that knew who he was. Come on, I feel like this is us. I feel like sometimes this is us with it. We get to that place with it. We can't explain things. We understand. We know that something's hard. We know that something's heavy. But what are we going to do in the midst of it? And this is a challenge that I feel that he presented to them for us to see too, that he says, pray. He said, pray. What is prayer? Pray is an intercession that you become with what the Father is agreeing with. Do you agree with the higher part of the brain to come to the understanding of God? I don't care what it looks like, God. I'm standing in the midst of it. That there's something within me that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Whatever that influence is, whatever that thing is that's out there, you're greater within me, God. But it doesn't come. It doesn't come without intercession. It doesn't come without a desperation. It doesn't come without us getting on our knees. It doesn't come without crying out to him and saying, God, we need change, God. We need these people to flow with your spirit, God. We need to cry out for marriages that are broken and people don't even know why. How did this come? We need to stand on their behalf. We need to stand in the midst of it and not be overwhelmed. And I want you to know that, listen, this can't happen just with us. It has to come. I need these ones. I need you guys to lift it up. I need you guys to be on your knees with me to cry out to God. I need you to be at that place to call those ones that are meant to be in this house. Come on back to the house of God. Come on back to this place that you could be one as we are with the Father. That you could be one with Him. You'll face your problems and your intimidations and your fears. And he says, I pray that you... This is his words that he says. These are the last words that he says to the disciples. Pray that you don't fall into temptation. That you're not over... Because why? What is the temptation? He was talking about the influence of the world. The things that makes it look like God's not in control. The things that make it look like that God's weak, that God's not powerful, that God can't save me, that God can't set me free. That's what the world tells you. That you need everything else to make you happy, to give you joy, to give you peace, to give you hope. He said, don't enter into that temptation. Don't fall into that place because it'll pull you down. Listen, I thought about this. I thought that there's many people that I know that had relationship with God. I said, God, I failed. Did I do something wrong? But I felt like they've divorced God. And I began to think how that in marriages sometimes it's unreconcilable differences. And sometimes people have an unreconcilable difference with God. And they've separated themselves from Him because of the influence of things in the world, because of the pain, because of hurts, because of things that go on that we feel that we can't control. And he said to them, he says, and he withdrawn from them, and I never seen this ever, but it says he was a stone cast away. He was a stone throw. I can only throw a stone as far as that wall. And he says, that's where he was. I want you to see that. Sometimes God separates. He withdraws himself. He separates himself. He might move over here, but I'm telling you, am I going to stay there? Am I going to stay there? Am I going to just stay in that place? Or am I going to say, no, I need to go where you go, God. I want you to know that God's looking for some people that are desperate enough to say, I'm going to move myself where I am, and I'm going to move where you are, God. I'm going to move, God. I no matter where you go. Come on, Moses says, God, if you don't go, I don't go. That's the desperation. Come on. If you don't go, I'm not going. But if you move, I'm moving. I'm moving with God. And he says, he kneeled down and he began to pray. He began to get intercession. And this is the prayer that he prayed before. This is the prayer that I read, that they be one, that was his heart, that he was crying out to the Father to be one in the midst of this thing. I want you to say that he had it under control. He had it under control. But what he was praying for is us to not to be in the world. To be of the world, but in the world. To be of not of the world, but in the world. And he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. I want you to see that's the desperation that he portrayed to us. And he says, and there appeared an angel. This is what happens in intercession. He says, and there was an angel appear unto him from heaven, strengthening him. I can't do this alone. Come on. He says, and there appeared an angel, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed more. He prayed more. And his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Man, that hit me, because he was praying until blood began to pour from him like sweat, with agony on your behalf, on my behalf, of desperation. And when he rose up from the prayer, he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. They fell asleep to hide the pain, to avoid the moment to where this was. I want you to feel, I feel from my heart, there's a sleeping giant. The church is asleep. We're not awakened to that intimacy with God, the desperation, the hunger. I want you to know that here's what happens in intimacy. I begin to forget about the frivolous little things that mean something to me. The little things that mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. I lose it. It goes with the wind. Because the world is that way. The world is concerned about the petty things. Things that don't mean nothing. The things that interfere with the relationship. We talked to a girl this morning that she came to our house. She came to our house and she's my neighbor. And sometimes you don't even know the desperate, the hurts and somebody's pain, because people are afraid to open up because they don't know who to open up to. But I want you to know that in the midst of intercession, when you're interceding, you're at that place. God will bring them to you. God will send them to you. She came over and walked our house with no shoes on. Came to our house. Began to tell us the hurts, that she was abused by her own mother, who was a preacher. Minister for 18 years. And how that maybe we can understand why she doesn't have this thing with God. See, I want you to know that's what the world does. The world will interfere. And he's desperate for you not to be one with him. That you don't know him. That you don't know him as your Father. As your Father. As he's good. He's initially good. He's good. He's intentionally good. That's who he is. He can't be anything else. But it only comes from that intercession, from the intimacy that we have with him, to know him that way, to know his heart, that no matter what anybody says to you, you know the truth because you're intimate with him. You're intimate with him, and nobody can sway you from it. And he says, and while you sleep, he says, arise. He says, and he said it again, pray that you enter not into temptation. That you don't be overwhelmed. And I want you to know that in the midst of that intimacy, in the midst of that place, I really feel that, even not knowing the answers, these disciples, that in that place of intimacy, these are the ones that walk with Him. They finally came to that place where that they found that. But they found the intimacy, just like us. I want you to know that we've slept. And we haven't prayed enough not to fall into temptation. And I'm not talking the temptation of drugs, or I'm talking about the temptation of what the world has to offer to say, don't go after Him with everything. Don't be sold out. Don't sell out. Hold back. But I believe it's time. It's time. For them, little ones. That they know how to reach God. He said that they know Him by generation. A generation. But He's looking for a generation that are desperate. Not just for a show to make me feel good or entertainment. Nothing about that. I want you to know the only thing I want this church to offer is intimacy with God. Not a program on how to draw people in. Not a praise team, not a preaching, but intimacy. That oneness with us, with Him, is what draws Him in. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. I want you to know that they're valuable to Him. And He's tired of His people being hurt, being broken. And needs the people that He'll release them to that are intimate with God. And I want to stand before God and know Him. Know Him in the midst of desperation. And know how to hold on to God when everything falls apart. I want to be like Joseph. I want to stand like Joseph. That even without the robes of feeling who he thought he was, with royalty or whatever that was, favor, that there was something within him that was intimate with God. It was intimate with God. The heartbeat of the Father. I want people that we know that we're so intimate with God that when somebody walks in this place, we know why they're crying. We feel their heart and their pain. That when you're in the midst of worship and we're worshiping, that we're so intimate with God, that people in the audience don't even have to walk up here and get saved, but God saves them in the midst of that worship as they're standing there. Come on, amen. I want you to know that, listen, That I've experienced that one time while I was leading worship years ago, and I stood there and I watched a man, God, the Spirit of God, hit him, and the man got saved. He became a preacher. The man got saved in the midst of that worship. I'm desperate for that. Come on, amen. I'm desperate for that. I don't have to convince nobody, but because of the intimacy that God convinces them, amen, that God convinces them right in that place. As they walk in the door, because this place is refreshing. How's it refreshing? Because we're intimate with God. We're one with God. We're in love with God. We're passionate about Him. Passionate about God. No programs. That stuff comes after. That stuff flows after. It comes out of the intimacy. Ones that really work. Come on, I want you to know there's things that I've seen that God has put in my heart that I've never told people. I haven't told people. Because I know that it only comes from being desperate to see it happen. And I don't want to stop and not see it. Because I want you to know, I believe that we are desperate, and that happens, those things will be revealed, what God wants us to do. What time is it? We got a minute. I'm going to sing "Yes, I Will." If we could sing that, you could just sit where you are and just let God minister your heart. Amen.